Hey guys, welcome to Questionably Insane. I'm Coach Tyra. Today is Friday, and I want to tell you a little story. I was going to do a news segment, but I was in my car, and I was listening to Marvin Gaye, Inner City Blues. And it made me think about some childhood things I went through. And so I wanted to share a story with you. Well, not just a story, but just some information. So, for those of you who do not know me well, I am originally from Detroit, Michigan. And I was born in the 70s. I'm not going to tell you exactly when, because you don't need to know my age. But I was born in the 70s and grew up mostly in the 80s and the early 90s. And then, you know, the city started to change. But before that, let me just say this. I started this segment to tell you that about children that grew up in the city. And, you know, me being a military spouse and us traveling all over the country, I see how people behave different based on how and where they were raised. And so environment does play a very important part in who you are, you know, your personality, your characteristics, those type of things. One thing that I see in the inner city that I don't see in small towns is the hopelessness that a lot of inner city kids have. Like, people in small towns, they want to get out. They want to, like, I'm sick of the small town. It's boring. It's nothing to do. I'm bored. I want to get out and live life. They feel sheltered. They feel closed off. But inner city kids, they never say that they want to leave the city per se. They might want to leave their neighborhood, or just for life to get better, or they, some of them don't even realize that there is an option, because of course you'll say, oh, well, you see it on TV, but TV just seems like a far away thing, something that's not tangible. What's tangible is right outside their door. So the only people they see succeeding sometimes is the drug dealers and that type of thing. And so that is why a lot of inner city kids end up getting involved in that type of thing. But I want to say this to you. When I was growing up, you know, I had a mother and a father. My father worked. Sometimes he got laid off, but he worked. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. Financially, it was rough for my family. You know, we had a lot of setbacks and fires and lost our home at one point. We had to live with relatives at one point. And I've always been a very observant person. Even though I was a little child, I paid attention to things, what was going on. And I might not have been able to put two and two together so well when I was young, but I did as I got older. And when you grow up poor, you understand that you're poor early on. And you know not to ask your parents for certain things, because you realize that if my parents had money to buy me this, then they would only have that. Like, my father didn't have a car for years. So I knew not to ask my father for certain things because I knew he couldn't afford it. Just straight out the gate. You don't have to ask your parents for PIO lessons when they can't even afford to get a car. You know, or things like that. Times where I got our lights cut off and things like that. So, you know not to ask. And I remember when I was about 15, 16, I think I was 16, I wanted these pair of Jordans. These Jordans was hot. They was $100 back then. I see the pair of Jordans today, like today's time was like $250. But back in my day, when I was about 16, I'm going to say this is about 89, I guess. I really wanted these Jordans. Now, I'm a 10-year-old, I usually just wear some regular old Nikes or some K-Swiss or whatever, you know, was on sale, you know, and my mother got me and just been quiet. But I really wanted these Jordans. So I came home, told my mother, and my mother was like, she was straight up with me. She said, look, we can't afford no $100 shoes. That's just not going to happen. She said, so what you got to do is, if you going to get a job or something, she said, because we can't afford it. So if you come up with half, I'll give you the other half. You know, and my mother was the layaway queen. She put a whole bunch of stuff I had in the layaway, things she had in the layaway. So she was like, did they got a layaway plan at the Foot Locker? I was like, no, mama, Foot Locker ain't got no layaway. She was like, well, you better lay away in your drawer then, your dresser drawer. So, you know, I got me a little job. I was working at Mickey D's. That was my first job. Got fired from there, but that's another story. I'll tell you about that later. It's pretty funny. But anyhow, I went to McDonald's, got my little check. When I got my first check, I was like, who the fuck is FICO? I was pissed. Why are they taking my money? Didn't know it was the federal government, I paid taxes and all that, but found out real quick on that one. You know, they get theirs off the top. So anyhow, I ended up saving two checks because I had other stuff I needed to get myself. So when I saved $25 for each check, I went to my mom and was like, Mama, I got the $50. And she gave me a crisp $50 bill. And then she gave me a $10 bill. I said, what's the 10 for? She said, tax. So me and her went to Fairlane Mall, went to the Lady Foot Locker, and that was not the Lady Foot Locker, the regular Foot Locker, and I bought my first pair of Jordans. I love those Jordans. I worked hard for them. My mother was like, I'm proud of you for working hard for what you wanted. And that's the way life is. I had those Jordans for 3 weeks. And then some ghetto scum bucket, no moral having person, he robbed me and took my shoes. 3 weeks. I didn't even get a chance to break them in good. You know, and I was very hurt. I was like, you know, I worked hard to get my check so that I could buy these shoes that my parents can't afford to buy me. It's not like I can go out and get a new pair. But you just feel like you got the right to just come and take my shoes because you feel like it. And that goes on a lot in Detroit. It really did. And what it did also was that turned me against trendy clothing. Because I just felt like if I had trendy clothing and somebody wanted to take it, if they put a gun to my face, I'm just going to give it to them. So don't buy trendy clothing. Which is sad. Because you should be able to buy whatever you want to buy. If he liked my shoes, he should have just said, hey, I like your shoes. Where you get them from? I'm going to work and get my girlfriend or sister or whoever those pair of shoes, because taking someone else's belongings is not cool. They worked hard, and that's the thing I hate about living in the inner city. It's like you rob people that live in the same poor neighborhoods that you live in. Really? You know good well we scratch to survive to get what we have. Nobody's rich and living in the hood. People like to pretend like they are. You know, they'll wear Gucci or Guess or Jordans or whatever. And you'll see people that's lower income, they're standing in line to get a pair of Jordans. Because trendy clothing, I guess it means that it validates them in some way. I have no idea. But that was my first pair of Jordans. And my last pair of Jordans. I never bought another pair of Jordans again. No matter how much money I had. because I realized there was no value in it. And it wasn't worth putting my life in danger for just to be trendy. And even to this day, like, I wear Adidas and Nike and stuff like that. I still wear the same shoes I wore when I was a kid. Adidas, Nike. Don't have a pair of K-Swiss. You know, I love my K-Swiss. I had a black pair, high-top K-Swiss when I was in 12th grade. I wore them suckers way hell, see the sleet of snow. They were very comfortable. Got a lot of mileage out of them. I wore them until those suckers started turning up. You know, when the toes turn up. My mama said, girl, throw them shoes away. You got some other shoes in there. And I used to love the Reeboks. They had the different colors. Got that from Whoopi Goldberg when she used to play in her different movies back in the 80s. She's always wear Reeboks. But that's a different story, too. And when I was young, you know, I always felt like I didn't belong there. Like, I just didn't fit in. I didn't think the way people thought. I didn't act the way they act. I tried to just try to blend in. But I was really just a geek. And people didn't even know it. So a few of my friends knew it. I'll be in my house reading books while they be outside clowning. Or I'll be in there listening to my rock music or some classical music. And just, you know, but when I come outside, I have to be a different person because it's not acceptable to be that way. You know, for many years, a lot of our friends didn't know I could sing. They didn't know, I wrote poetry. They didn't know lots of things about me because I kept that side of me hidden because it wasn't acceptable for that environment. And then when I moved to a different environment, then I was able to completely be my complete and total self. So yes, environment has a big effect on who you are as a person and also how you move in the world. Even if part of your personality is quite different from that environment, you will still hide those elements of yourself if they are not acceptable to that environment. Anyhow, so I went to private school for most of my younger years, from like kindergarten all the way to eighth grade. Two different private schools. First private school was Doremi, Academy of Detroit. Then the second school I went to, JAC, James Allen Caldwell, Private Baptist World of Learning. It is located at Burnett Baptist Church on Schoolcraft in Greenfield. Shout out to you. I went there from 4th grade to 8th grade. Very interesting time in my life. But then I went to public school for high school. It was completely different. Private school was very structured. We had rules. We had regulations. When I went to Redford High School, it was how could I say this? It was different. It was completely different. They had rules, I guess, but they weren't enforced. It was chaotic. That's the word. It was chaotic. It was chaotic and disorder. I remember my first week at Redford High School, my friend Nikki. And we and her were walking down the hall. We was coming down the stairs. And this girl had got kicked down the stairs. And it was stomping her. And me and Nikki just stood there and was like, I was just shocked. I don't know what Nikki thought. But I was in total shock. And I was like, what is going on? She was like, they should get a beat down. And Nikki looked at me and said, welcome to the jungle, Tyra. I used to love that song, Welcome to the Jungle, yeah. But when she said, Welcome to the Jungle, Tyra, that just left a lasting impact on me. And I made up in my mind right then and there, I was going to adjust to my new environment. That's called survival of the fittest. I was like, you know, if this is what I got to deal with, I want to figure out a way how to deal with it and deal with it quickly. Getting in fights. I got in fights because a girl said she didn't like to wear a ring on my hair. I looked at her wrong. I got in a fight with a girl because she liked my boyfriend and she wanted me to break up with him, which that's the stupidest thing ever, but okay. All kind of stuff. I had lots of fights in high school. Some of them were valid. Most of them wasn't. It was just ridiculous because that's the way that environment dealt with conflict, was to fight. And when I was younger, I was very, very angry all the time because that I was going against my natural nature. I'm naturally a very chill person. As far as like, I know some people are going to laugh and say, Tyra ain't chill. I mean, like, far as like, want to fight all the time, I actually don't. I prefer to just talk it out. I'd rather just argue with you and resolve it that way than to get into a physical altercation. But at that particular time, that was not the method to use. So, you know, we had lots of fights with my girlfriends. But I had a lot of fun in high school with my friends. Angie and Carla and Shanice and Talitha at the time, and Tawana, and Shannon, Tamika, Ryanita, Dee Dee. We just had so much fun in high school. But now Renfrew High School is gone. They tore it down to build Myers there. And there's nothing there but a cemented plaque that says this Renfrew High School was here. But because I grew up in that environment, and I'm my only child, I'm not spoiled. There's no spoiled children in the hood. I wish people stop saying that, because spoiled means that you got everything you want. I didn't get half of things I wanted because my parents couldn't afford it. And I had nobody to trade chores with, so I did all the chores myself. So I know where this spoiled thing came in. I'm probably more spoiled now, and that's due to my husband, but not because I was a child. So, you know, because of that, it made me a very tough person to just deal with. I went to a lot of funerals as a teenager. A lot of my homeboys, some of my homegirls, you know, got killed. A lot of gang violence. Growing up in that environment, it either breaks you down or makes you really, really tough. And so, it's not that I don't care. I don't care about people's feelings. I do. I'm a coach. Of course I care about your feelings. I just grew up in an environment where your feelings didn't take front and center. So that's how I move in my life. Yes, I acknowledge my feelings. I acknowledge yours. But your feelings is not what's important. What's reality is what's important. How your feelings, you know, because feelings are temporary. You know, so you're angry today, but you may not be angry tomorrow. So you should make this lifelong, life-altering decisions based on how you feel. I learned that from a child, growing up in that environment. It taught me so much about how to move in the world, how to handle conflict, how to handle different situations, how to handle difficult people. You know, and these are all things that you need to learn in life. Because the bullies that was in your neighborhood, they grew up. They got jobs, they're your bosses, they're your supervisors, they're your coworkers. They may be even be your employees. You got to learn how to deal with those different personalities. I hope you enjoyed this segment. Today I was talking about environment and how it plays a role of who you are as a person. This gave you a little background about me. And so I hope you like this segment. Please tune in weekly for segments. Share it with your friends and support my podcast. Have a blessed, prosperous, and happy weekend. If you live in the South, please make sure you put on sunblock, because the sun will burn your ass. Until next week, bye.